Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. You're listening to CFRA Radio. The show is Good News in the Morning. It's put on by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. You can check us out online if you Google Good News Christian Ministries. My name is George Sinclair. I'm a local pastor in Ottawa, the pastor of Church and Messiah. And before we get into the show, we're going to listen to Johnny Cash sing It Was Jesus.
Well, a man walked down by Galilee, so the holy book does say. And a great multitude was gathered there without a thing to eat for days. Up stepped a little boy with a basket. Please take this, Lord, he said. And with just 5 loaves and 2 little fishes, 5,000 had fish and bread. Who was it, everybody? Who was it, everybody? Who was it, everybody? It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted, and he raised them from the dead. Then they nailed him on an old rugged cross and put thorns on his head. Who was it, everybody? Who was it, everybody? Who was it, everybody? It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, they took him down and they buried him. And after the 3rd day, when they came to his tomb, well, they knew it was gone, 'cause a stone was rolled away. He's not here, for he is risen, the angel of the Lord then said. And when they saw him walking with his nail-scarred hands, they knew he came back from the dead. Who was it, everybody? Who was it, everybody? Who was it, everybody? It was Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Hello again. You're listening to CFRA Radio. The show is Good News in the Morning, put on by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. And if you want to check out this ministry or hear past tapings, just Google us at Good News Christian Ministries. Listen, you can be involved in this show by your prayer, by your financial support, and any of that stuff, it's all greatly appreciated. My name's George Sinclair. I'm pastor, Church of the Messiah, and it's my privilege today to spend time with you opening the Bible and talking about Jesus. My wife does not like being treated like an appliance. No wife does. In fact, nobody likes being treated like an appliance. And in my conversations in coffee shops and other places, many people will tell me the same thing when they find out I'm a Christian, that I'm a pastor. They'll say that they are spiritual but not religious. We're going to look at a Bible text that sort of touches on these two things, on people who are spiritual, those of us who are spiritual but not religious, and our aversion, our dislike of being treated like an appliance. And so if you have your Bible, the text is going to be Luke chapter 10, verses 21 to 24, and I'll just read it for you. And it goes like this, Luke 10, 21 to 24. In that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to the disciples, Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Before we sort of talk about this text, we're going to listen to some more music. We're going to listen to Randy Travis sing, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands."
He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the wind and rain in his hands. He's got the wind and rain in his hands. He's got the wind and rain in his hands. He's got the whole world 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 in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got the whole world 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 in his hands.
Good morning again. We are looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 21 to 24, and what Jesus teaches here in the Bible about us. And just before the song, I was talking about how my wife does not like being treated like an appliance. You know, it's easy for me to become self-preoccupied or just, you know, thoughtless. And my wife will start to think that I think that I have a microwave, I have a house, I have a car, and then I have my wife who happens to clean and cook and look after the kids and do this and do this and do that. And let me tell you, and it's completely and utterly justified, when my wife starts to think that I'm treating her like an appliance, she has some words with me to try to make sure that we have that personal connection and I get back in the right way of thinking. You know, it's really, really interesting that, I don't mean to insult anybody when I'm saying this, but I meet many, many people in coffee shops. They find out I'm a pastor. I ask them, well, you know, what type of spiritual connection or views do you have? You know, I'm a pastor in a Christian church, and many, many, many people will tell me that they're spiritual and not religious. Many of you could finish that line because it's very common. Maybe, in fact, describes what you believe. And I'm not trying to insult anybody here, but here's the thing. My experience is that many people, when they say that they're spiritual but not religious, and in fact, I have to say that I haven't met anybody yet who doesn't fall into this particular trap, is once I start asking them just some questions out of curiosity about what they think God is or who they think God is or what God is like or whatever, they invariably use language that describes God as a what and not a who, that he's like something more like an appliance. Let me unpack that a little bit. Here, what we see Jesus teaching in Luke chapter 10, verses 21 to 24, is that God is a who and not a what. God is a who and not a what. I know it sounds like a title from a Dr. Seuss book. Martin, here's a who. God is a who, not a what. But what we see here in the text is that Jesus teaches very clearly that God is a person, that he's not a force, a principle, an abstraction, a metaphor, a narrative. Look, you know, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus calls God Father. He calls him a him. He calls him, he talks about how God reveals, hands over, knows, has a will, has a heart. That's why we see that Jesus is teaching that God is a who, not a what. Now here's the issue for us, is we can see when we ourselves are treated like an appliance, like a what, rather than like a who, that being a person is so woven into us. It's so woven into who we are that we are a who and not a what, that it explains how we resent and are wounded by being treated in certain ways. But it also explains a little bit about how it ends up confusing our thinking. You see, here's what happens: is that what we believe in, hope in, serve, give ourselves to, we end up using who language. When at the same time that we use what language, I've maybe completely and utterly confused you. Back 100 million years ago when I took sociology and was in graduate school in sociology, they used to talk about the problem of reification. It's a big word. But it means treating an abstraction or a what or a force or energy as if it is a who. So it comes up when we say art teaches or music leads or science does or science knows or evolution does or something like this. Art, music, science, evolution, these are all whats, but we use language as if they are a who. But a what does not choose, love, reveal, know, will. And so often when I hear people who say they're spiritual, not religious, talk, in fact, actually, I have to confess, I've never heard anybody not fall into this. They'll talk about God as being like the greatest reality, or that God is energy, or that God is everything, or that God is everywhere, or that. But all of this is talking about God in terms of a what. But then at the next very, very minute, they'll talk about that, you know, that's an energy that loves, that knows, that accomplishes this or does this or helps them do this. But that's impossible. That you can't use language of a what, energy, for instance, or everything, and then talk as if that what is a who. And here's the big issue for us. Like, we all know that a microwave is less than us, that you know, we all know, my wife knows that if I start treating her like an appliance, like a what, that I'm demoting her, that I'm treating her like something less than human. But if God exists, and I'm not having a debate right now with atheists, I'm not discussing, you know, whether God exists or not, but if God does exist, for those spiritual but not religious, or those who are Christian, or those who are of any faith, if God does exist, how can the greatest reality be a what? How can God be a what? Because whats are less than you and me. They're less than a person. Now, maybe there is no God. I believe that God does exist. I believe there is a living, creating, sustaining God who is the end of our longings and our yearnings, that reveals himself as Father, who's that Jesus is God. I believe all of these things. But if God exists, he cannot be a what. That's an appliance. That's just electricity. And so God cannot just be a what. He has to be a who. Now, some people here listening to this might push back and say, George, okay, I'm going to have some problems maybe with this. I granted I talk about energy or other things as God being sort of everything, and then I maybe talk as if God, you know, loves or chooses or wills or reveals or helps or guides or strengthens or other things that only whos can do. But George, you know, listen to what Jesus said in that text. One of the reasons I'm spiritual and not religious is because the exclusivity and the narrowness. Like, what is Jesus saying? That only he can reveal? Like, But let's listen to the text again, verses 21 and 22. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So, you know, some people push back and say, George, that sounds awfully exclusive. That sounds very, very narrow. But here's the point. Listen, you see, we're still tending to think of God as a what, not as a who. If God is a who and not a what, then I cannot know who God is apart from God revealing himself to me. Right? If God is a who and not a what, then I cannot know who God is apart from God revealing himself to me. Like what goes on in friendships, what goes on in relationships, what goes on in the workplace. Like, you know, how many times do employees think that their bosses don't just understand them? How many times in friendships do we feel that somebody's heart, their friendship is drifting away from us because they won't reveal themselves, open themselves up to us? How many times will a wife or a husband say to the other, why don't you just talk to me? Let me into your life. Why don't you share with me? That we all feel the problem and the burden when we're talking to people. If people don't want to reveal themselves and open themselves up to us, then they're like a closed book. We can't enter into us, that we can't enter into their lives and they can't enter into our lives. So if that is true at a human level for whose, then it has to be true for God. I cannot know who God is apart from God revealing himself to me. And so here we see that Jesus is claiming to be God, that Jesus reveals himself to the Father and the Father reveals himself to Jesus, and they're different, but they're one. And we see that if there really is a God, it's even more true that he has to be the one to reveal himself, because at least, you know, if it's just my wife and I, you know, we're both human, you know, we both speak the same language. But in the case of God, God is infinite, I'm finite. God is perfect and is God, and I'm not perfect and I'm fallen, and God is one and pure and simple, and I'm fractured and scattered, and God is unceasing yet still, and I'm unstable and intermittent, and so given the difference between God and me, I'm completely and utterly dependent upon God to reveal himself. And that's what Jesus is claiming here, that Jesus is claiming that God is revealing himself, has revealed himself in and through the person of his Son. That's what Jesus is claiming. And if you think about it, it just makes sense. I cannot know who God is apart from God revealing himself to me. Now, but some of you might want to push back and say, George, but okay, that's very thought-provoking. It's gone in a bit of a direction I didn't expect it to go. But George, now can't you see that God is being unfair? And it looks like he's only going to reveal himself to some people, only through Jesus. Isn't God being unfair? And by the way, doesn't this just sort of imply that education, are you like opposed to education? Are you just sort of saying that, you know, we just sort of sit back and not try to learn anything, and we'll just sort of wait for God to reveal himself to us through Jesus? Like, this seems really, really unfair. Let's listen to the text again. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. This is Luke 10, 21 and following. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now, here's the thing, you know, with that objection about God being unfair, here's the thing. Why are we assuming that Jesus says this to stop the conversation rather than begin it? Like, you know, at the heart of that the heart of our sense of unfairness is that we think that Jesus is saying this to stop the conversation, right? But why are we thinking that? Like, why is, like, how can anybody read the Gospels and think that Jesus says things like this to stop the conversation? Jesus doesn't say this to stop the conversation, but to begin it. Here's a point. In the face of the need for God to reveal himself, do I boast, demand, despair, stomp away angry, or humbly ask? Like, if in the face of this, like, what should I do? Should I say, well, I don't know, Jesus, you can't reveal God to me. I have a master's degree. I'm ordained. I'm a Canadian. I don't know. I'm this or I'm that. Do I demand? I don't know. God, I'm successful. I'm wounded. I'm not successful. Therefore, you have to do something. Do I despair and think, oh no, God, Jesus will never have a conversation with somebody like me? Do I just sort of get angry and shake my fist and stomp away that God would be so that Jesus would say such a thing? Or listening to what Jesus says, do we just turn to Jesus and say, really, Jesus, you can do that? Please do it. Jesus, please do that in my life. Like, humbly ask. Like, Jesus isn't saying this to stop the conversation, but to begin the conversation. And so this is actually revelatory of us. Given that Jesus wants to begin a conversation that can end up, and I believe will end up, with you knowing God revealing himself to you, then why is my response to boast, demand, despair, stomp away angry? Why shouldn't my response be to humbly ask? Like, why shouldn't I choose that? I mean, I can give you a little bit of a reason, which we all know. In a little while ago, I was in a coffee shop, and there were a group of people, and they all started laughing. I didn't know these people. And in the middle of all their laughing, I heard the name George. And that's what made my ears prick up, that they were using my name, George. And they were all laughing, howling with laughter. So I started to listen in. And it turned out that one of them, their son or their daughter, had just had a baby. So this was the person's grandson. And they'd just been told that the grandson was going to be named George. And they thought this was the funniest name in the world. And I have to feel, I got a little bit defensive. I mean, I know I have a bit of an odd name by contemporary Canadian standards, but I mean, surely it shouldn't create howls of laughter. But here's the thing, is that in Canada, we all know that a mark of wisdom in Canada, okay, a mark of wisdom in Canada is to not be a Christian, right? I mean, we all know that. Like, nobody in our office says, whoa, that person's a Christian. They must be really wise. if we say that we're spiritual but not religious, people might think we're wise. If we say that we're into Wicca or a whole pile of other things or the atheist, people will think that we're very wise. But in Canada, the cultural climate is that being a Christian is a sign that you're not wise. And that's why when Jesus says something like this to begin the conversation, we need to ask for courage and have a hunger to know the truth. Just sort of, and one other thing about this whole thing about revealing, just remember that when Jesus is saying this, he's saying this and Judas is present. That Judas, who will betray him, he was present. See, and this really, really warns us about something, that what Jesus does is not mechanical. It's not just like, you turn on you flip the light switch and the power is right there, or you turn on the water faucet and the water is right there. That we can have advantages, that maybe we've grown up, hearing about Jesus or knowing the Bible or some of those other types of things. And there needs to be an act of our will on our part to come to Jesus and ask him to reveal himself and reveal the Father to us, that it's not just a pure force. It's not mechanical. This is personal knowledge and personal truth. And that's why we have to humbly ask for hunger to know the truth and ask Jesus, really, Jesus, you can do that? Please do that in my life. And we see that when we hear these words of Jesus, that anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, that Jesus is delivering the death blow to spiritual pride. Jesus delivers the death blow to spiritual pride. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to die when he speaks this. And so he speaks this in the context of him going to Jerusalem to die on the cross, to rise from the dead, and to ascend into heaven. And the cross is the means by which God redeems us. And the cross is also the supreme act of revelation to our fallen human race. And that's why Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of the 19th century, said that the Christian faith is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. All I can do is tell you, go to Jesus and humbly ask him to reveal himself and the Father to you. It's all I can do. It's not that Christians are smarter, wiser, more clever, nothing like that. We just believe that God has chosen us, unworthy as we are, that we've just asked, he reveals himself to us. So here's just very, very quick exhortations. You can go on the web page and it'll be written down if you have problems with the notes. Here's the thing. Don't stop thinking, but start listening to the Bible deeply. And don't shut doors on knowledge, but make connections with the Bible and what's going on in your life. And it's as you make connections and think with the Bible deeply that you grow. And choose courage. Choose courage. Choose to know Jesus and to be known by him. And choose to ask him to reveal the Father to you. And choose to look up to what is truly bigger than yourself. Choose to understand that if you think of God as a what or as an appliance, you're looking down at God, and choose to look up to what is truly bigger than yourself, the living, true creator, sustainer God that does exist. And ask Jesus to reveal himself, and to reveal the Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, to you. Let's just pray in closing. Jesus, thank you that you can reveal God to us, that you do reveal God to us. Thank you, Father, that Jesus, that the way that you reveal God is also the way that you redeemed us so that we could be God's children by adoption and grace. Father, please grow in us. Please grow in me a humble, trusting knowledge of the greatness of Jesus to reveal you. Dad, Father, please grow in me a humble, trusting knowledge of the greatness of Jesus to reveal. We'll finish today by listening to George Beverly Shea sing, "In Tenderness He Sought Me."
In tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again. While angels in his presence sang until the courts of heaven rang. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the love that brought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. He pointed to the nail prints, for me his blood was shed. A mocking crown so thorny was placed upon his head. I wondered what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the love that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the love that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me to the fold.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.